ESPN 97.5.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Presented by Zadok Jewelers.
Houston standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe continues now
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
No Joe today. DJ Bienname in for Joe. Joe's going to be out tomorrow, too. We'll have Brent Hill with us tomorrow. Kayshon Booty asked about the Texans defense. I think he was asked if the Texans the toughest defense you're facing. He said, I wouldn't say one of the toughest. At the end of the day, we know we're going to get man coverage. We've got to beat it. It's that simple. I think they're just physical cornerbacks, but at the end of the day, I'm physical too. So it's a matchup I like every day of the week.
See, yeah, like that's what I was saying before the break. Like, you're going to have to win your one-on-ones. You're going to have to create the one-on-ones. Because I don't necessarily think they play zone that turns into man because they match a lot of their stuff. So,
yeah. How in vogue is that in the league?
Is what?
Starting off in a zone and then switching into a man. I guess every zone has man concept.
Yeah, because like, at some point. Yeah. Because like, if a guy comes into your zone, what you going to do? Not cover him? You know what I'm saying? So like, that's why the term zone corner is a little interesting. But it depends though. Like, if a guy's just bailing, getting his deep third, and like, yeah, like obviously that corner is in zone. So it kind of depends, but most corners, most of the zones turn into man of some sort, right? And then like, you know, not everything is, you know, if it looks like cover three, it's just cover three. Sometimes, like, the backside guy might be man up in the situation or, you know, because there's a lot of, if they do this, then we do this.
Right.
Rules that are in every single defense.
Do you think that they get a bad rap that they're, the Texans defense, that they get a bad rap that they're simple?
Yeah, 1,000%. Man, I've talked to a lot of the guys about their defense. Man, it is far from simple. Like, it might look simple because they make it look
simple. Or start simple.
It might look simple, but they make it, and it's executing looks simple, but like it's way more complex than they realize because they got a lot of rules. It just allows them to play. They got a lot of rules, but they're able to drill down on the fundamentals and master it. Like, I remember having an argument with Charles McDonald of Yahoo about this because he was trying to say like Brian Flores is a better defensive mind than what it. He was inferring that Brian Flores is not even, like, he's way better as a defensive mind than Saleh because he's more detailed and technical with a lot of his schematic stuff, and Saleh is more, like, drilling on fundamentals, which in a case, like, you're also saying that about D'Amico because they both basically run the same defense, right, with some tweaks. But regardless, so, like, one might look more complex, but at the end of the day, like, theirs has a lot more, like, theirs has, they got rules in theirs, and it's not easy to pick them up on the fly, which is why the first 3 weeks we've seen a lot of explosives. Well, not a lot, but we saw explosives happening because obviously one guy was struggling to pick it up. And now, once he was gone, the explosives reduced a lot more.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's how I kind of look at that. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, I think they get a super bad rap. I think it's stupid, actually.
Right.
To say, like, their defense is simple. Like, they just, people just think, like, oh, they just line up and they tell you what they're going to be in. And yeah. That's like, nah, bro, like, it's not like that because in that sense, right, like, a simple defense schematically that looks like, you know, from my naked eye, it looks like Pittsburgh's defense on the back end. They line up a man, you know you're getting man coverage, and that's that. The Texans, it's not necessarily like that. It's a lot of, if they do this, then we do that, right?
Yeah.
You know, obviously, I won't. Like, I've asked them very specific. And I wouldn't divulge what they've told me because,
sure.
Yeah. You know, I do think if teams figured it out, that could, you know, in a sense, kind of erode the schematic of the defense, right? And obviously so, right? Any defense, if you figure out their rules, like, it's kind of clipped. But, yeah, so, you know, I think they get a super bad rap.
Chat on the YouTube, Aziz is so fast, he's unable to shadow. Says attack Petrie in the passing game.
What? Petrie's been one of their best cover guys in the passing game.
Yeah, I used to bash him for that. I'm off of that, though.
Yeah. like, I can't even – that's not even a good one.
Two things scare me, the weather and what happens if our offense can't put up a single touchdown. So watching that the Patriots game, like, their pass rushers by name probably aren't better than the Steelers' pass rushers by name. Mm-mm. But Vrabel's really good at disguising, like, where the blitzes are coming from. He's really good at the stunts, which Texans had issues with last year. I haven't really seen them have issues with that this year.
They struggle more with sim pressures. They don't struggle as much with stunts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they struggle more with sim pressures. And I mean, I don't know who that's on, whether that's on CJ or if that's the O-line. Like, that one, you can kind of remove a little bit more from the coaches in that aspect compared to last year.
Right. So, I think they're going to send bodies, though. I think they're going to force Stroud to beat them by pressuring him. And, CJ, like, if you can beat him, you beat him.
But CJ this year has been good against the blitz. So, like, I don't know if that's a good idea. But Nico's probably not going to play this week.
Right.
So that's not a bad idea either.
The back of my mind, I think second half Chargers, second half Chiefs. Like, if I'm Vrabel, like, I'm doing a bunch of that.
Yeah, I get what you're saying there. My only thing is, I mean, that's not a bad idea. Let me not say that. But, you know, like, it looks like second half against the Chiefs was, I mean, the Chargers was not, they wasn't just sending, like, extra bodies. They would have guys at the line of scrimmage.
Oh, yeah, there's disguise in it.
Yeah, disguise in it a little bit better. And then, like, they're dropping. The Steelers did this to an extent, too. Like, there were some plays where, when guys were coming free at some times, like a play where like Echoes came free and TJ, and when you had Trent having to block one of the two, and I think one of the running backs had to pick him up. But regardless, though, like they had guys along the line of scrimmage, and then you had Highsmith drop on the coverage and kind of, you know, because again, like they thinking, all right, we got something over here, we're going to shift it to the left, and then he drops out, and now you got these two guys coming in. So I think that's what you got to worry about more when they simulate the pressures, or it might simulate it with an extra guy. Those are the ones you got to worry about. Stunts, you don't got to worry about that no more. They do a good job of
that.
Yeah,
I haven't seen that come up all year, really.
Nah. Maybe, like, last time it was, like, a thing. It was, like, the Jags game early on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but that's – I wouldn't be worried about that at all.
Junkie, I would attack To'o To'o. Again, I love him, but he's the weakest link on this defense. Run at him, force him to cover, and throw right at him.
I wouldn't say run at him is that effective, but I would say for sure try to get him matched up one-on-one. Try to get him matched up one-on-one. So you got to design. So, and I'm sure Josh McDaniels is probably thinking that. But, yeah, that'd be another way.
You can exploit them with a very good tight end. Pats don't have that.
Which tight end has, like quote-unquote, exploited them? Trey McBride.
McBride and Bowers, but those might be the best two tight ends in the league.
Yeah.
I think Hunter Henry's – I will say solid. This. Yeah, I think Hunter Henry's better than the texter, like, lets on there. I wouldn't call him a very good tight end, but I think he's solid. Like, right. He's good. Right. Austin Hooper also was wide open in the end zone against the Chargers and May overthrew him. Like, he could have very easily had a touchdown in that
right,
game, too.
Right. We'll see, though.
Yeah.
We'll see, though.
Here's the issue I had defensively is the offense is the same. The pressure, extra bodies, if they do it, disguise it. Mm-hmm. The stunts don't really worry me. I'm with you on that one. Injury report, you kind of alluded to that a little bit. Nico did not practice today.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be a miracle if he plays. Is it even feasible here? Like, with the practices
so,
left?
Because you have to practice. You have to practice. Basically, long story, you got to practice twice.
Yeah.
And you have to be a full participant in one of the. You can't go no practice, full participant. You have to go no practice, limited, then full participant. So basically, you're going to run out of time.
Which right. We also thought, like, when he left the game, like, okay, it's going to be a miracle he plays anyways. And now, now the days are starting to, you know, catch up to him a little bit, too.
Yeah.
Trent Brown did not practice.
Yeah.
Did that worry you at all?
Maybe. I mean,
you think there's a chance he doesn't play?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if he practices tomorrow, then it changes a little bit. But, you know, the Texans this year, they've done way more of, like, before the first 2 years with D'Amico, if you didn't practice Wednesday, Thursday, you weren't playing.
Mm-hmm.
Only, like, Dalton and Nelson were the only guys the first 2 years that did not practice the first 2 days and then practice on Friday and then they played that week. But this year they've done a way more. Schultz has had multiple games where he's missed, you know, the first couple games. I mean, first couple days of the week. Sting, Kamari. The list actually kind of goes on and on and on. So, that worries me a little bit. Because that's gonna hurt you in a run game.
I guess you'd move Titus to right tackle again.
Yeah, but now you got to bring in a guy. Think about it, you got to bring in
Patterson
Juice.
Or Juice.
Yeah, but like you think about it, you move.
Wasn't it weird that Juice was a healthy scratch? I think it was the first time all year, wasn't it?
Nah, but he don't fit the scheme though. Like he more of a zone, wide zone type of guy. This is a downhill. We try to knock you off. That's why I like Kaylee's running attack. Like, I like his run ideas, right? Like, I'm super anti-outside zone unless you're Kyle Shanahan or Clint Kubiak. I'm super outside. Because, you know, to me, it's just, you know.
You don't like it.
Yeah, it's anti-football at times. Because, like, right, try to run outside zone when it's like.
It's like finesse.
20. Yeah.
It's not physical,
yeah,
it's finesse.
Yeah, and playoff football, you got to be physical. Now, you know, you like it. That, you know, you like it. You like it. I love it. Whatever. But You got to be physical when it comes December, bro. You got to, well, January. You got, you know, it might snow on Sunday.
I hope it does.
And you're going to be out there trying to run. Like, the most disgusted I've ever been with Mike McDaniel was when they were in Kansas City, when it was big. People were losing fingers, losing toes, losing limbs.
I remember that.
And you running outside zone. Come on, bro. You supposed to run downhill. Run downhill and try to run through somebody's face. Because you're not going to be able to throw the ball. Your quarterback got a limited arm. So you're not going to be throw the ball. And I get the outside zone stuff. But, like, bro, it is.
It's not the day for that.
It's not the day for that. It's just not the day for that. You got to even if it's not working, bro, you just got to run downhill, man. Like, I know I sound ancient.
I like it, though. I'm a little old school myself.
Yeah. Like, just like, you know, like in that clip, D'Amico kept saying, wear them out. And the way to wear somebody out is really just run at them and move them off the ball. It's way more demoralizing when people are moving you off of the ball, moving you off of your spot, because you feel like as a man, like,
yeah, you're being manhandled.
Yeah, where if I'm moving laterally and you kind of move me, that's just annoying. You know what I'm saying? That's just annoying. But if you move me off the ball and I can't stop you from moving me off the ball, that can break the will of a team.
Yeah, I can. Yeah. I mean, D'Amico was saying that. He was like, yeah, they're going to tap out.
That's going to make people tap out.
Yeah, they did. I mean, look at the fourth quarter explosion. Of course, that had, you know, defensive help, but Woody Marks exploded in the fourth quarter, too.
I think it actually
came to fruition. Right. Harbaugh's going to New York. He's going to be the new head coach of the Giants. How do you like that fit with Harbaugh going to the Giants? And what other jobs are out there that you find attractive? 713-780-ESPN. DJ filling in for Joe. It's Jeremy and Joe. ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
DJ BNMA in for Joe George, covers the Texans. Great, does great stuff.
Go Texans.
I probably read all of your stuff, DJ. I'm like a proud parent of yours. I read everything that you do. Why are you looking like that, Brian? Brian, like, look at
proud
like
parent?
Butter proud beer parent? Face. he called me old earlier.
Yeah, you're 9 years older than him. Proud
yeah, but
parent?
I'm not going to big brother him. Yeah, proud. Like
thank you, CJ, like for not
like a cousin, big like yep. an older cousin.
Yep, there you go.
I'm a proud older cousin.
There you go. There
read
you
all
go.
His work. You do a good job, though. I'm not just BSing you.
I appreciate that.
I think, you know, I probably wouldn't do that.
Yes.
I think you would.
I wouldn't BS
in
people.
Person.
No, I wouldn't. Nah, I wouldn't say anything at all.
He just wouldn't say anything. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I think you're right.
I wouldn't say anything at all. Like, if I didn't respect your work and think you were good at what you did, I just wouldn't say anything.
Yeah.
And if I didn't think you were good, I would talk bad behind your back.
Like a proud parent. Yeah.
With Nico out, who's Houston's most important offensive player this week? And then we'll get to the other candidates.
It's always CJ, no matter what. It's always still CJ.
Oh, my bad. I didn't read the rest of it. With Nico out, who's Houston's most important offensive player this week other than CJ?
Other player, I would say, it's probably both of these, Ariante and Titus for
okay.
sure. Or you could say Titus slash, like, you know, yeah, I'd say those two because you're gonna have to give CJ some protection.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, he likes to scramble outside, right? Like, he doesn't really scramble up the middle.
Kind of annoys me.
He scramble outside. So, like, you got to give him that window to, like, escape out of that. He's not necessarily a scramble up the middle guy. The one time he did recently, obviously he got knocked out.
Yeah, but he ran the wrong way.
Yeah. Well,
he like didn't follow his blockers. Like ran right into a defender.
Well, I mean, you know.
You know what annoys me about him?
What?
At times is he's gotten way better at this. Is whenever he drifts back.
Oh yeah.
But I haven't seen him do it in a minute.
Yeah.
I think he's been mindful of, like, I can't do that anymore.
Yeah. He did a lot against Seattle.
Yes.
Yeah.
You just drift back. And, like, Mahomes does it a lot, but Mahomes, like, you know, he's Mahomes.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's a good point. So, yeah, I would say the tackle duo.
See, I was going to go with Woody.
Nah, I wouldn't. I mean, because he can't eat without those.
No,
he
that's
can't,
the
yeah,
thing. Because it's kind of correlated. Like, those guys help Woody.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm with you on that. All right, so John Harbaugh is going to be the head coach of the Giants. Like, the big fish out there, Ravens. Maybe surprise move, moved on from him. What do you think of the fit with Harbaugh going to New York?
I think it can work. I mean, it's not like their roster is like dreadful. Like they got some pieces. Obviously, we'll see more about Dart. I'm always curious about concussion quarterbacks. You know, obviously, now I would say, you know, Tua, I don't think concussion is why his play has fallen off. It's just been under-discussed. He missed the rest of the last season with a hip injury to the same hip that he had surgery on.
Wow.
So I think he just, his arm is shot.
I think he's done.
Yeah, I think he's done. Unless, like, he reconfigures his body, but still, like, that hip, like, he's kind of shot, in my opinion.
Yeah, he can go hold a clipboard somewhere for a long time.
Yeah, for sure. But, yeah, no, he's kind of shot in that aspect. and, obviously, you know, Darts has some concussions and whatnot, and even CJ, right? Like, CJ don't run as much as he did once post the most recent concussion, which is understandable, right? So, like, I'm curious to see how that evolution is. But I think they got some, you know, smooth pieces, especially on D-line. Dexter Lawrence, you got Brian Burns, right? Kayvon Thibodeau is an interesting cat. Obviously, you got Abdul Carter. Who else?
I mean, you're talking both sides of the bar, just defense.
That's just defense. And obviously on offense, you got, we'll see what Malik looks like.
See,
when
I think
back.
Neighbors is a freak.
Yeah, but that knee injury kind of concerns me.
Was it ACL or was
it ACL?
More than that?
It was ACL plus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think LCL also or something like that. Maybe. Obviously, you got Andrew Thomas. So I think it's good building blocks. People, you know, I'm not really as high on Scam Scatterboo. I mean, he broke his leg in a nasty way, and he wasn't already fast to begin with. He was way more like brute force. And, like, the kind of the cliche that he wanted it more. He ran like he wanted it more. Like, he's one of the guys you can say that.
I think he's a bona fide psychopath.
He is.
Like, he's the dude. He's the kind of guy who would, like, dive into a brick wall.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm saying that as a positive either.
Yeah, for sure. But I would say, like, you know, here's my thing, right? So this is where I go back to my media discussion.
Okay.
I think that's a good hire, right? I don't think it's a bad hire. But I do think, you know, based off just some of the commentary, I think, man, us as media, just generally speaking, we've done such a terrible job. Now, whose fault that is, that I don't know, because at the end of the day, like, you kind of, for you to, like, explain, you kind of need people to play ball. We've done a terrible job at explaining what head coaches that don't call plays actually do. Like, if you don't call plays as a head coach, people automatically assume that you're just holding a clipboard, right? Like the narrative of Nick Sirianni is so far left to me. And it's strictly because he does not call plays. And the offense don't look good, but he don't call plays, right? Like, and I find that just absolutely ludicrous. Like, people have this conception that it's really, like, your scheme is what makes you a good head coach. No, man. Like, Mike McDaniel had a smooth scheme, but, like, he wasn't a good head coach because there's so many other things that go into being a head coach that people, the general fans, and it's not their fault, they should have known that don't know that. And a lot of people in media don't know that. Just because, like there's so much that goes into the product that is put on the field Monday, you know, on Sunday for those 3 hours. There's so much that goes into that. That goes way beyond just, like, the schematics. Like, how are you teaching the schematics? How are you going to come up with a game plan? Like, people assume that just because you don't call plays, that the coordinator's just, hey, we just going to run this. See you later. Nah, like, they discuss it and they go into depth. Like, all right, what's the best ways to, like, they might not, like, Pep told me that, like, Lovie never told him what to run offensively, right? But, like, do you think Pep was the one who came up with the two quarterback thing? Hell nah. Like, let's be for real. Like, and ironically, that was when their offense looked sneakily like the best that year. Yeah, they moved the ball the best they've ever moved it, you know, outside, you know, when Damian Pierce pop around or whatever. But yeah, so, like, it's not strictly like, oh, well, you know, his scheme is nice and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like people do not have a clue at what makes a good head coach. And there's just so much that goes into it. Like I just hate how we as generally speaking, discuss Nick Sirianni because it ignores the fact that he wins a lot of games.
Yeah.
And he's made the playoffs every single year. He's been to multiple Super Bowls. He's won a Super Bowl. As if, like, that's just because of the talent. No, man.
Right.
That ain't because of that.
If you were a poor leader, they wouldn't have the success. I can't stand Sirianni because of his demeanor.
Yeah.
But I respect the heck that he's won what he has won.
Come on. And, like, let's be real. Like, he has a very, like, is he the best coach in the league? No.
Right.
Like, I wouldn't say that, but he's a very good coach. And I would say, like, he's winning with a limited quarterback. Like, Jalen Hurts is a limited, it's fair to say he's a limited quarterback.
Would you call him a tight end playing the position?
No, I wouldn't call him a tight end playing the position. No,
I like Jalen Hurts. I didn't say that. I you're preaching to the choir here. I think we overrate scheme at the head coaching position, and we underrate leadership, organization,
detail,
all, like, culture building, all of that. I'm a huge proponent for that.
Right, like, that goes so, because that's what allows you to execute the scheme. Mm-hmm. It's all those things.
Look
right?
at Vrabel. Look at Vrabel, come on, in one year.
Come on, man. Like he, it's funny. Like what scheme did he take from? Remember, he was a DC, he was a Texan. The Texans
and they weren't that great that year. They weren't that great. They had injuries, but they weren't great that year.
Right, and then obviously he goes to Tennessee and makes them. They were a number one seed.
They were AFC championship game.
Yeah.
Tennessee.
Yeah.
Bad ownership.
Yeah.
No quarterback.
With Ryan Tannehill threw for under 200 yards in those two playoff games that they won. Like, he was winning. That's what I'm saying. Like,
we underrate that stuff. You're 100% right.
We underrate it so much because, you know what? It's not quantifiable, right? You can't see it. Yep. So since you can't see, you have to make yourself feel like, oh, I know what I'm talking about. You have to post this clip or that clip to make it show like, mm-hmm. oh, this will make this guy good. Like, I've asked coaches, like, they've all said, like, that's a part of it, but it's not as big of a part of it as you think. Like, it's not, like, Mike Tomlin, like, every year they find a way to win, most, you know, double-digit games or have a winning season, never had a losing season, and a lot of that speaks to, like, how good of a coach he is.
With
now,
inferior talent, I think.
Right, yeah.
No quarterback play.
Now, he doesn't have as high a ceiling as some of that was quarterback play, but obviously he's such a floor raiser, and that goes back to a lot of the things that we discussed, right? Are guys showing up on time to your meetings consistently? Like, do guys respect you? Like, that's why Miami and Mike McDaniel, they start off so hot. Now, granted, you know, Tua get hurt, Mike get hurt, you know, Tyree get hurt, whatever. And they fell off so fast beyond the fact that, you know, obviously Tua is limited and teams were able to catch up. But again, as a head coach, you have to find ways to work around when teams are, and they did that sometimes, you know, this year. When teams are now adjusted to what you're trying to do, you got to work around that and find ways to still get wins, whether it's you're managing the game a little bit differently where, like, you know, it might not look pretty, but, like, if you get to midfield and instead of going for it, you say, all right, we're going to punt it, pin them back, you know what I'm saying? Now they're inside their 10, and now if they get a couple first downs or they drive the football, but they only get to midfield, they got to settle for a punt, and now we get the ball back. And, you know, just those little things that make a gigantic difference that we don't quantify that stuff at all. There's no stats to that.
Coaches, like, will say the word complimentary football.
Yeah.
And it's 100% true.
1,000%
true. 1,000%. But then, like, you know, some people look at, give me a top-ranked offense, top-ranked defense. Like, a lot of the games are one of those margins that don't show up in the box score.
They don't. Like, you can't pull up a stat that just says.
So you think Harbaugh is, like, a good leader, though?
Yeah, yeah. I think he's a good leader.
You're a fan of Harbaugh?
Yeah, I think he'll do good there?
I think he'll do well.
I don't really have any qualms about it. You know, it's just, you know, obviously, we'll see if he can win a chip, but, like, I mean, you bring a guy in like that because you're trying to win big.
Yeah.
So we'll see if you can ever get to that point. But, like, again, like, so much of those things are just not quantifiable.
Nope.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, now it helps if you got both, right? Like, Kyle, Sean McVay, Andy Reid at one point. Like, yeah, that could take you a long, long way, obviously. And that can keep, you know, the train rolling. But at the end of the day, man, like, and you got to develop players. And you got to develop players through your staff. Like, who are you hiring, right? Like, who are you putting in positions to develop these players, right? Like, if you hire a bad coach in a certain group and they don't get better, like, if you hire a bad O-line coach, like, that can derail your – that's probably the most important hire that you make for – well, maybe second. But the most – second or whatever third most important hire, but sure the most important position hire that you make for your group, right? Like, you know, no disrespect to Chris Schauster. But, like, that hire derailed the 2024 season, right? Because he couldn't get the O-line to do what they needed to be done. Now, granted, in that Washington Post article, he took a shot at Bobby.
Yes, he did.
He took a shot at Bobby.
Football is football.
But, again, like, if you miss on that, like your offense can't even – It's only so good it can be, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, there's a governor on the offense if you can't protect.
You know, so, man, like, there's just so many other things that go into it. And I'm going to ask D'Amico on the off the record tomorrow and just ask him. You know, I want to hear his perspective because, you know, he don't really give us much information. Like some off the record, like some guys were like, not in Houston, but like other teams, they'll tell you like, hey, we're going to do it. Like, I remember this one reporter that I know, the team he was covering, the coach gave them the opening script of what they were going to run.
Wow.
Yeah. And they obviously ran all that. Like yeah, we're going, you know, some guys, they aren't as paranoid, or some guys, you know, they trusted me. Because for real, like, if you think about it, like, if you give me that and I leak it or whatever, like,
You're toast.
The reporter has way more to lose than you real than I think than like a guy like D'Amico realizes. You know what I'm saying? But you know, I asked him some more of those like philosophical questions because I'm philosophy question because I'm always curious in that aspect because I feel like that makes so much more of what makes a coach good or not.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, not can you design fancy play, bro? You can design a fancy play on Madden.
Yep, and like a great football mind, like you're talking about, like they can find the guys that are good at play calling.
Yes, exactly. They can find those guys, and if they're not, if they hire those guys and they're not succeeding, we can still win in spite of that.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like we could figure it out. You know, because again, you're a good head coach. You're coming up with a way to win games. You know, so which is why like. Where D'Amico earned my next level of respect is when CJ goes out and you go 3-0 in that stretch.
That's pretty good.
Against some good teams, was it? Well, Titans weren't good.
But Jags, though.
Jags were good.
Duval.
Who was the other one? Jags, Bills. Titans. That's right.
Yeah, Bills.
Yeah. Bills on a Thursday night.
Yes.
Yeah. That's right.
Like, come on now. Like,
I couldn't remember the Bills.
Yeah. Like, you know, like, to me, the sign of a really good sign of a good coach is what do you do when your quarterback not there?
Yeah, a little adversity.
I hear you. They should start Davis Mills this Sunday.
No. I ain't saying that.
DJ Beanie. Heard it here first. Yeah, the 0-3, too, though. Like, your 0-3 adversity. I didn't think they were making the playoffs after 0-3. I didn't think they were making playoffs after 3-5.
Yeah. I didn't either.
3-5, and then Stroud gets hurt?
Yeah, I thought it was over. I thought it was over.
It should have been.
Yeah, and they found a way, because again, like, it might sound like a cliche, but D'Amico's biggest message he always preaches. Not every coach preaches this, is finishing and trying to figure out how to finish. Like, that's one of his biggest messages. And you see that permeate through the team, which is why they lose those first three games, one possession. And, well, actually, they looked their first, what was that, four losses were like...
Four out of five,
like last drive. Since then, they haven't lost a game on the last drive. Think about that. Even against the Colts, when they bench their guys, they don't lose that, and that goes back to the culture that you're building. And a scheme cannot account for that. You know what I'm saying? A scheme accounts for highlights.
Yeah, You're preaching to the choir here. So one of the nine NFL head coaching jobs is closed. Is official. Yes. Harbaugh going to the Giants. There's eight other jobs. Which of these jobs do you like? 713-780-ESPN. DJ in for Joe. It's Jeremy and Joe. ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2. Are you looking to escape the rat race? Stress, anxiety, whatever's causing you stress. Maybe it's the hustle and bustle of the job. Maybe it's just traffic. Traffic in the loop is awful. I have the best idea for you. Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. You don't have to worry about that stuff. Don't have to worry about the job. Don't have to worry about traffic. Don't have to worry about coworkers bailing on you ahead of an important weekend. You don't have to worry about that stuff because you're going to be out at Two Creeks Crossing Resort enjoying yourself. Escape the city. Enjoy the relaxing, great outdoors. Book your stay now, twocreekscrossingresort.com. They love to take care of their visitors, too. That's one of the best things about Two Creeks Crossing Resort is that they're always looking for ways to take care of you, whether it's just some live music, maybe it's a food truck, maybe it's some things for the kiddos. They have a bunch of things that they do to make you feel at home. The hospitality there is fantastic. But you're there in 90 minutes, too. It's not far away. You're going to be enjoying the open green spaces, wildlife, majestic trees, some of the best fishing in Texas, Two Creeks alongside their property, the big catch and release pond in the middle of the property, which is good for the kiddos. But you're there in 90 minutes. You're there in an hour and a half. You're not waiting at the airport at the gate for your airplane to show up. A delayed TSA screening. No, you're not in the vehicle all day. You're there in an hour and a half. You don't have to go too far to enjoy the great outdoors. Hike on their 92 acres of property. You can kayak on the creeks up there. They got pickleball for you. You can have a drink at Swampers. Who doesn't want to have a drink at Swampers? And they have plenty of stays for you, too. Plenty of options. Glamping, which everybody loves these days. The cabins, which are right alongside the creek. They have a big treehouse out there. We stayed there when we went. The kids loved the treehouse. Or if you already have your own RV, pull up the RV. They have the perfect stay for everybody. So book your stay now, twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. This is Jeremy and Joe, live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
DJ in for Joe today, 713-780-ESPN. Someone said that DJ is the Socrates of NFL reporters. You good with that? Socrates of NFL reporters?
Socrates?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Socrates was the...
Means you're a philosopher, I think.
Like, great philosopher back
great
in
thinker.
His day.
All right, yeah. No, I like, yeah, mind. Yeah, that's for sure. It's fine. I call people, like... Like I it's funny. Like most of the people I talk like about this stuff, where it's like people that are not in the industry, like that play football or whatever, whatever. And I just be, you know, just talking with them. And so, you know, some people, you know, obviously I'll talk to that are in the industry and whatnot. But yeah, I like to think beyond just like the surface level stuff.
Yeah, and like, yeah, you do. It shows too. Yeah. He considered a founding figure of Western philosophy. He was the first Greek philosopher to delve into ethics, and his influence on ancient philosophy was so profound that earlier philosophers are known as the pre-Socratics.
Nice.
So there you go. Nice. You're the founding figure of Western philosophy when it comes to the NFL media.
We could just be so much better. Like, I think it's just that's all it is. I think we could just be so much better. Like, you know, like actually try to like figure out things instead of like just kissing butt
surface level,
time,
yeah. You know what I'm saying? You see a lot of that too, man.
Yeah.
What'd you think of that Jacksonville question the other day?
So like,
I guess it wasn't a question.
Yeah. So like, it's two part, right? Like, from an ethics standpoint, like I say, it's multifaceted. Like, from an ethics standpoint, obviously, like, that's a no go. Yeah. But like, I'm also not stupid enough to go on Twitter and be like and condemn it, like,
right?
Like, that you just being like, you know, like, what are you gonna gain?
Just let it go.
Yeah,
it's
like,
not worth the fight.
It's not, because you know it's going to come beyond that.
Yeah,
right?
Now like, you're being the ace in the hole.
Yeah, like now people going to call you an a-hole or whatever. Even though you're like, you're standing for what's the ethics standpoint. But I think the only people that I think it would have been fair to do that are the people that were in the room. Because like, let's say that actually, because I've seen people put the hypothetical of people love to do this on Twitter. Boy, that was me in that situation. And I got to write on deadline. Well, you weren't in that situation. You don't got to write on deadline.
So if John McClane did that, how would you react, DJ?
He would never do that.
You're right.
He would never do that.
I know.
But
I
would say,
Sarge did it. How would you?
Sarge would not do that to that extent, because he knew I would get on him afterwards. But in the moment, though, I wouldn't. Like, I'm not going to ostracize you in public. I'm going to just talk to you on the side.
Right.
Yeah. Like, you know, there was one time he asked CJ like a hat question, and I told him like, that's a waste of a question. Like, I get why you're asking myself that's a waste of a question. Like,
which Houston media member is most likely to do it?
Oh, there's none of the people that show up on a weekly basis. There's a guy, I forgot where he is currently based out of, but he comes sometimes. I forgot his name.
He's the most likely. I think I know who you're talking about. I don't know his name either, though.
He'll ask questions about Chris Boyd. One time he asked a question
about... Was it the guy that, like, whenever Blake Fisher didn't report or was called for a flag, maybe reported, but they called him for a flag for not reporting, and he like, I saw the ref do it. What did he say?
Oh no,
was
that's
that guy.
That's AD. Not AD. Oh, AD wouldn't do that. Right. Like, AD wouldn't do that. It would the guy. I think they were like, he's based out of Gilmore or something like that.
Is he kind of country?
Yeah,
I know who you're talking about. I don't know who he. What his name?
I don't
is.
Remember, I forgot. I they be saying his name, so I forget. But he one time after the Texans lost by a lot to a little. To the Washington Commanders, he asked Lovie Smith on a positive note, because we were peppering him, like, asking about benching Mill. We were peppering. It was crazy. He asked something along the lines of, well, on a positive note, what did you think about you guys converting some fourth downs?
Very.
So, but like, he's more likely to do that. But to answer the question overall, though, like, it ain't. Like, I'm like, all right, yeah, nah, she, you know, that's not the place for that. Because you can literally wait till the cameras are not rolling.
That was my thing.
Yeah.
You can say it off the record.
And that's cool. Like, at that point, like, you know, people do that all the time. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, these guys, like, you know, some reporters act like they're perfect across the board. Like, everybody breaks ethics to an extent. Like,
sure.
Every reporter, you know, media guy, they break it to an extent. Like, what that extent is, everybody does it. You know, if someone say, hey, don't, they're lying.
A lot of it's unwritten, too. So it's like, what
is exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like, we know what it is, but, like, a lot of people break it. And, like, I'm not going to knock those people for breaking it. Like, do you? Like, it was a human moment. Like, so I would say, I wouldn't. I wasn't going to comment on that. Like, that's just silly. Because now, like, your whole Twitter gonna get a million views.
What's wrong with that?
It's going to turn into...
What's wrong
like
with a million
just
views?
Just throw the crap out there.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
To get clicks.
I just don't feel like dealing with all that. You know what I'm saying? I don't feel like dealing with all that.
I got a family to feed, though.
Yeah, I feel you on that. You should have commented then.
713-780 ESPN.
Jeremy puts a roof over his kids' heads with a game performance.
That's right. Elon sends me a check every month. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Keith, you're in with DJ and Jeremy. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Thanks for having DJ on. Right before the break, you asked what's the best open head coaching job right now in the NFL after the Giants got Harbaugh. And I think the obvious answer is the Ravens, obviously, yeah, with sure. Lamar Jackson. But I think the best job, I don't know if you guys agree, right. I think the best opening is the Las Vegas Raiders.
Crazy.
You know, they have the number one pick with in a one QB draft with Mendoza. They've got Genty. They've got Crosby. They've got Bowers. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady's in the fold. Mark Davis going to spend some money. It's there. A really, you know, the last play schedule. Would That's you say true. The Raiders is the best job?
I don't think the Raiders are the best job. I see the points, though. I think I'm interested to see Mendoza in the NFL because he don't got that much mobility to me in tight spaces. So I'm curious to see what it actually looks like.
What is his best athletic comp? Because I've heard him called Goff. I think he's a little bit more athletic than Goff, though.
If he's a little more athletic, than, I mean.
So like, he's like halfway between Goff and, I don't want to say Burrow. Burrow's too high.
So maybe.
CJ?
CJ more athletic than Mendoza.
Yeah, but, I think so, too.
Yeah. I mean, I think it'd be good pro. I just, for me, if you're going to be the number one pick, I need a guy that, like,
is a dude.
When everything breaks down around him, he can still make something happen. That's for me. Like, if I want number one overall pick, like, Caleb did that. Mm-hmm. Jaden did that. May did that. Cam Ward did that. Shrout did some of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, because we saw that against Georgia. Bryce, granted some of a projection, he did that a lot at... He did a lot at Bama. You know what I'm saying? So like, for me, the number one pick is we can put the game on your shoulders and you can carry it. Because that's what wins now big, right? Like, guys, to an extent, right? Hurts can do that at times, but it's unique. Mahomes, right? Obviously, Brock, to an extent, can do that. Obviously, you guys are Super Bowl, whatever. But, like, guys that can – because it's not – for me, it's always – it's never about – you don't want him relying on that. But there's going to be 3 to 5 plays where you're just going to have to make a play. And – is either you make it or you don't. And if you make it, that change, that flips the game, right? Because, right, CJ drops the – he drops – now, granted, that's not the same exact situation, but he drops the snap. Next play is like 3rd and 15. He makes a 46-yard throw to Christian Kirk. That flips the field. That changes the whole tenor of that game.
In the bucket,
right?
Too.
Right. And I think that drive ended with a field goal, right? Something like
got
that.
Points.
Yeah,
it
they
was
got
a critical moment, too. Yeah, wasn't it when it was still like a one-point game?
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
that's when,
like,
they had 10-6.
Right. And then the next drive – The Texans basically shut the door with Sheldon, you know, scoring or whatnot. So, like, I'm always big on, like, you're going to need quarterback. Now, granted, that's not that exact scenario. But against the Chiefs, right, I forgot what the final score was. But there were a few plays, right?
Mm-hmm. Where, a like, big run and a big throw.
There was some time where CJ was making something out of nothing, throwing off, you know, back foot to Nico. That was like a 50-something yard gain. I think that ended up in field goal, whatever. But, like, still, like, those game-changing plays. And it's not because, again, the margins in the NFL are so small. So small, like those 3 to 5 potential plays make a big difference. Justin Herbert, right, against the Texans, those few plays that he kept the play alive and kept a drive alive made that a game to where it was like, all right, the Chargers got a shot.
Yep.
So I don't know if Mendoza has that in his bag, but I think he's a good pro. Obviously, the Raiders, you know, I don't think that's the best job, but I see what he's saying.
Yeah, you think it's Ravens?
Oh, wow. Well, 1,000%. You get Lamar. Like, I like Saleh in that situation if you can bring Mike McDaniel.
Ooh, that'd be nice.
Yeah, if you can bring Mike McDaniel, I like that situation.
Yeah, but then they're running zone when it's cold outside.
That's my only thing that's going to make my tummy ache.
Yeah, I wonder if McDaniel is a little too cloying for them. 713-780-ESPN, our junkie of the day. What is your junkie of the day? 713-780-3776. DJ in for Joe, Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, 97.9 HD2.
ESPN 97.5.
This crazy world is home to all kinds of junkies.
I got a junkie for a wife. Don't eat nothing.
Some worthless junkie.
We're adrenaline junkie.
Because I'm a news junkie. Okay, I'm a Twitter junkie.
An elephant that's a junkie.
But only one can be the junkie of the day.
You're acting like I'm some kind of speed junkie.
What loser will be the winner? Find out with Jeremy and Joe.
Shut the f*** up, junkie.
Who's your junkie of the day? 713-780-3776. It's just like the biggest screw up of the day, that sort of thing. Junkie on the text line. I don't think I've ever heard junkie. Jeremy say in a minute. I wonder why. I say that all the time. Wrong.
I don't think he's wrong.
Absolutely. I say in a minute. I say in a minute to my wife.
Okay. I haven't heard it on this air.
I'm tempted to throw this person out, but we're kind of up against it. Finally, a good co-host and got the Ken Giles off the show.
Whoa.
Joe George Joe's is the Ken Giles? Giles?
That's rough.
It is rough. DJ, I did enjoy it. Appreciate you sitting in.
For sure. Thank no, it was a lot of fun. I mean, it flew by.
Yeah, it went quick. That's what happens when you're having a good time.
That's a good point.
It goes by in a minute.
That's a good point.
Okay.
Twice in one
twice
show.
Now.
Wait, what?
Twice now.
I'm not sure I actually use
months.
That well. I think I use that poorly, actually. I should have said it in a New York minute. All right, do you have a junkie of the day, DJ?
No, not really.
That's okay. That's fine. Alex has one for you. He's going to put the junkie of the day, Joe George,
junkie?
For not doing the show. Soft.
Soft. Soft.
You think? Is he? He's not going to the Bears game, is he?
No, he's there for a Chicago Cubs fan event.
What a nerd.
Oh,
it's a good week to
there.
Do it, though. They did sign Bregman.
Yeah.
What are they? What is this, like, CubsCom?
I guess. Like, he booked this, like, in November. What so he obviously
that?
Had no idea the Bears would be playing, but.
He's going to CubsCon at Wrigley.
Yeah. That's what he's doing.
What a nerd. My junkie today is Team USA and the WBC. They're, mm-hmm. they're doing a make-a-wish with Clayton Kershaw. They're make-a-wishing Clayton Kershaw onto their roster today. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Clayton Kershaw's a make-a-wish. They don't care about winning the
maybe
WBC.
Maybe he just pitches mop up duty.
Although I will say this, I'm glad they took Kershaw and not Hunter Brown.
Yeah, so
happy about that. Selfish. I'm selfish with my pitchers. I don't want you pitching for Team USA. Brian, do you have a junkie?
Yeah, I'll quickly nominate this guy who knows ball.
I look at the running game. I give the edge to New England. I know that's Nick Chubb. And what's the other kid, Chime? The other
Woody Marks.
Woody
Marks.
Woody Marks.
I give the edge to.
What a name.
I give the edge
what
to,
a name,
to the Patriots.
Up to Boston.
The what a name guy, my junkie today.
I've never heard of that Woody Marks. He ran for over 100 yards in the wild cards.
Woody Marks parked the car.
We'll have a New Englander, Brian Barrett, on with us tomorrow.
Does he sound like that?
No, he doesn't. He sounds very. He worked here for a while. Rahil will fill it in for tomorrow with Joe. For Ken Giles tomorrow as well. Somebody else junkie today is that Vanderbilt-loving fool Keith and his ridiculous Raiders take. All right, who's winning?
I think
WEEI guy?
Yeah, yeah.
Bastin guy.
The what a name guy.
All right, does it for us. Thanks to Brian for the hard work. He was DJ. Make sure you follow him. All your Texans news at DJBNMA on Twitter. I'm Jeremy. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Good night, Houston. Goodbye.
ESPN 97.5.